Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
If your kids are off to college, you might be worried about what you've been hearing on the news and an increase in campus violence. And I'm not even sure it is an increase, but you hear about it more. And so it's a very big concern for both parents and the kids heading off to college as to whether or not they're going to see any of it or are there safety measures in place. My guest is Dr. Yolanda Reed Kasiakos, and she's a professor of pediatrics at the David Geffen School of Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kasiakos. Tell us about campus violence. Are we seeing more of it, or is there just more on the news?
There's more on the news. Folks have probably heard the expression, if it bleeds, it leads. And obviously, each and every one of these events is a true tragedy, but they are overcovered and continuously covered. And so the perception is that more of these incidents are happening than is really the case. Obviously, we'd like none to be happening. But there are many more children, teens, and young adults who are killed by guns in homes than in these events. We see from statistics that we see almost 12 deaths per day from firearm incidents in the homes, about 3,000 to 4,000 injuries per year, and most of these injuries and deaths are in home firearm events and not these very high-profile tragedies that we're seeing. However, campuses have been tasked by the federal government to document their crime statistics through something called the CLARI Act.
Explain that for us.
There was another tragedy about a young woman named Jean Clary who, at her university in 1986, was raped and murdered in her campus residence hall. And her death led to this legislation that essentially requires, through the Department of Education, that campuses document campus crime and publish these statistics on an annual basis. These can be found for each campus at the Federal Student Aid website. So a parent and a student can actually go on the website and determine what crime statistics are for hopefully the rare things such as murder and manslaughter, but sexual offenses, forcible and non-forcible, robbery, aggravated assault, burglary, arson, motor vehicle theft, and arrest and disciplinary interventions for liquor law violations, drug law violations, and illegal weapons possession. So campuses are required to document this and report this. Obviously, this is a motivator for campuses to take steps to limit and to reduce the incidence of crime on campus. And hopefully, low numbers of reports of crime are helpful to reassure parents and teens. But there are things that need to be done. Obviously, having conversations with your pediatrician about gun safety in the home is one of the first things. And the American Academy of Pediatrics does have advocacy priorities, which will hopefully reduce the presence of guns in the environment, such as a ban on the sale of assault weapons to the general public that they're advocating for, a ban on the sale of high-capacity ammunition magazines to the public, a ban on internet sales of firearms, action against unregulated sales by dealers, and closing the loophole at gun shows in which regulation in many places is minimal or absent.
Dr. Kasiakos, I'm going to stop you for a second here because, mm-hmm. yes, I understand where you're going with the gun violence, and I know that this is hopefully down the road with AAP, but when the kids are on campus and they're in their dorm, what can we teach our children about watching out for the warning signs if they're in a co-ed hall, if they're in a co-ed hall or they're going out to parties at night? How can we teach them to be vigilant and on their toes about things like covering up their drinks, not leaving unattended drinks, all of these kinds of things?
Well, there's something called, there's two factors. There's the type of violence we've seen in the news recently with shooters, or what are called active shooters. And for that, the best advice can be encapsulated as see something, say something. If a roommate or if a friend or something sees behavior that's worrisome or dangerous, see it, say something to a university official. They will be required to do an intervention. And usually most campuses have what's known as a behavioral intervention team, which includes folks from the health center, counseling and psychological services, police services, et cetera, that can assess the situation and intervene before something tragic happens. Now, the issue of sexual assault is one that's very, very much on the radar right now on campuses because of something that's called Title IX, which tries to ensure the absence of a hostile environment and sexual discrimination. And that also involves sexual assault, which can be forcible and non-forcible. So advice that can be given in those settings, exactly what you mentioned. First of all, avoiding the overuse of alcohol, because the overuse of alcohol reduces the ability to be alert, watchful, and cautious, and increases the possibility of higher risk behavior. And then we have the possibility, obviously, that someone could have something put into their drink, so drinks should never be left unattended. And then if something does occur, then we encourage students to report it to their campus authorities, because campuses are now required through Title IX to not only investigate from a police standpoint, but from a campus conduct standpoint, in which they actually have to take steps to protect students from potential threats as well as active threats. I want to go back to the issue of campus shooters, because folks in police services do give some advice to folks in an active shooter situation, and I think this can be life-saving at times. If there is an active shooter situation and it is safe for a student to escape, then escape is a good idea. But do not carry personal belongings with you or your cell phone, because the police may see that as a potential weapon. What they recommend is for folks to escape as safely as possible with their hands up so that they're not seen as threatening. If you cannot escape, you need to hide, and generally hide, turn off lights, barricade doorways. If you cannot escape or hide, then fighting is an option, and certainly that's an individual choice. It's not recommended, but in some situations that may be the only response. For the issues of sexual assault, it's important that the campus community and campus climate includes education as to relationships, and that consent needs to be given at every phase of encounters and relationships. And there are perceptions, or there have been on some campuses, that consent, for example, when someone is intoxicated or under the influence, is valid, and most campuses and under Title IX guidelines now recommend that that is not the case. In other words, someone has to be in their full consciousness and ability to be able to say yes or no to an encounter for that to be appropriate consent. Otherwise, it's considered to be a invasion or sexual assault in some cases.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Kasiakos. We are out of time now, but parents, the message is that we have to teach our children about the issues that are going on in campus, teach them to be vigilant, not to walk alone at night, not to overindulge in alcohol, because that will reduce their inhibitions and reduce their alertness, to teach them about on-campus ways that you can get support and encouragement, and all of these safety measures are put in place, including the Clery Act. This is Melanie Cole. Thank you so much for listening. You're listening to Radio MD, and our show is Healthy Children. Have a great day and stay well.